Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Well, in 2019, UBS's wealth management group actually mentioned that they are advising clients to stay invested. And this actually paid off quite handsomely despite all of the volatility we saw in 2019, especially if you were looking at their major markets. Well, UBS, at the recent Wealth Insights 2020, advised clients to do the same. But what exactly is the approach heading into a year with its own fresh set of opportunities and possible volatility? Well, after the UBS Wealth Insights 2020, we are now joined by Mr. Kelvin Tay, the CIO for the APAC region at UBS Wealth Management, to help us understand what exactly UBS is thinking and how to approach 2020 in terms of finding out the opportunities and risks. Kelvin, thanks for joining us. And as we mentioned a while ago, UBS advised clients to stay invested in 2019, and for the most part, it did pay off, especially in some of the major markets. Now, this year, UBS seems to be giving the same advice. Can you tell us what's guiding your thoughts on this particular advice you're giving to clients to stay in the markets? Because we know there is still quite a bit of volatility out there in 2020.
Yeah, we think that volatility is here to stay, and volatility could perhaps actually rear its ugly head again sometime this year, similar to the 2 to 3 episodes that we saw last year. But that doesn't mean that you don't remain invested. You should not try to avoid volatility. You should try to make the volatility work for you. We believe that the global economy is still in good shape and that there are actually signs of a recovery coming through in some of the countries that were once struggling last year. We do see signs of a recovery now starting to come through in China and in the rest of Asia as well. We're seeing green shoots now happening. Europe seems to have actually bottomed out, and the U.S. economy is still basically at a historical low where the unemployment rate is concerned. And wages are growing, but not at the unhealthy levels that would actually make you fearful or be worried about inflation rearing its ugly head again. So all these macroeconomic factors are in place and quite supportive. We do believe that you should remain invested and remain invested in equities, because we do think that even though the returns may not be as spectacular as last year, that there is scope for further positive returns where the equities market are concerned.
Now, you mentioned that volatility shouldn't be something that investors should be afraid of, and perhaps that is the way you can probably make returns. But as many a novice investor like myself have realized over the years, volatility seems to be a very tricky dance partner. How do you folks at UBS advise clients to perhaps ride some of this volatility and perhaps unlock some of these opportunities without maybe getting stung on the downside?
Well, I think as the old saying goes, you have to remain diversified. You have to be diversified where your portfolio is concerned. And that's one good way of trying to ensure that you are not overly focused on a particular region or on a particular sector itself. Secondly, you can also diversify across the different sectors, different asset classes, for example, across fixed income, across credit, across bonds, hedge funds. So in that way, you can actually manage the volatility of your portfolio much better. And therefore, when it kicks in, you can be sure that your portfolio is much better protected. If you're not into the different asset classes, you can also buy put spreads and try to actually protect your equity exposure in that sense. So that if there is indeed huge volatility kicking in and there's a sell-off in the market, you can actually, your portfolios are actually well insured as a result of it.
All right, Kelvin, you mentioned something a while ago about the yield environment, and I want to stay on this point now. Now, it has been highlighted by investment houses such as yourselves also that the yield environment continues to remain low, and there is a chance that monetary policy may ease even further, bringing yields lower. Now, this environment, some say, could spur risk-taking in the search for higher yield. Does this make the case for against bonds in 2020 perhaps a negative case for bonds in 2020? Or do you folks at UBS think otherwise, that there's another way to look at this, despite the lower yields making bonds seem unattractive on the surface?
Well, the bonds market is very diversified, and there's a lot of choices where bonds are concerned. I mean, there's Asian investment grade, which we think is actually pretty attractive now, with the yields on hard currency side still yielding at about 3.5% to 3%. Selective high yield Asian issuers are also quite attractive, and we do think that where the Chinese property developers are concerned, we do see quite a fair bit of value there with regards to with regards to some of the high yield developers in that sense. The Asian high yield space is actually very dispersed. You have yields ranging from like 4-4.5% all the way to the 13% range. What we're advocating is basically be issuer specific, target the 4.5 to 5% range, companies with good balance sheets, steady cash flow, and you'll be fine. So I think even though the global yields have actually dropped to almost record lows right now, if you're selective enough, if you're savvy enough, there are still pretty attractive issuers out there. They can actually add quite a lot of yields to your portfolios.
Right. We'll still speak to Mr. Kelvin Tay from the Chief Investment Office of UBS Wealth Management. Kelvin, I want to talk about also the year that was for markets in Southeast Asia. Now, we did talk about some of the record gains that we saw in the US and China and Australia over 2019, but markets across Southeast Asia, including here in Singapore, were relatively more lackluster when compared to some of these other markets. Do you think that this trend might continue into 2020, or do you think this could be a better year actually for markets here in Singapore and say out across Southeast Asia?
Well, I mean, some of the markets are actually pretty attractive. For example, we do think that the Indonesian rupiah, where the currency is concerned, is pretty attractive given the fact that the yields are high when you compare that to the yields on the European government bonds and the yields on the US dollar side. So there is a fair bit of carry with regards to the rupiah denominated hard currency assets in that sense. Where the rupiah denominated are concerned, because of the fact that the carry is actually much higher than the developed country currencies. In certain equity markets, like for example, you have to be a little bit more bottom up in that sense. Like for example, in Singapore, with the rates now flat or still declining, we do see room for selective REITs to actually perform quite well too. But not all the REITs on a bottom-up basis, because of the fact that the REITs market did very well last year. And therefore, on a selective basis, some of the REITs are still pretty attractive in terms of the assets they have compared to the yields that they are actually using at this point in time.
All right. And where else is UBS finding opportunities this year, maybe in terms of sectors or regions? Are there any particular areas that you yourself, for instance, are finding some opportunities that might prove exciting for yourself and, say, for other investors?
Yeah, we think the Chinese market is still pretty attractive on a PE basis as well as on a price-to-book basis. We do think that the Chinese market is still fairly valued, and the growth rates are actually coming back in quite nicely, given the fact that the government has spent the last 12 months basically using both monetary policy and fiscal policy to actually stimulate the economy. We do think that where the different sectors are concerned, we do like the digital transformation theme a lot, in the sense that with the deployment of 5G networks rolling out across Asia this year in a more widespread basis, we do think that some of these sectors could perhaps actually be very, very interesting in the next few years, and therefore we should perhaps actually get some exposure right now. On the healthcare side, we do think that genetic therapy is a theme that is looking very exciting because over the next 10 years or next decade, we do think that on a per annum basis, at least 20 to 30 different types of genetic therapy treatments will be approved for use by the US FDA. And we do think that in some of these cases, you could perhaps actually hit the holy grail. And so that we do think is actually quite an interesting theme as well, given the fact that the world is aging and that, that there's room for medical treatments to become a lot more digitized and a lot more sophisticated for better results, actually.
All right. And Kelvin, before we let you go, I know you have a very busy evening ahead of you also. I do want to, one last question with regards to Singapore. As we know, this is quite the big year. It's a possible election year this year, and also the budget coming up next month. In your estimates, how big a factor might these two events play in determining where Singaporean markets might head? Or might their impact be negligible and other more fundamental aspects actually drive Singapore markets for 2020?
Yeah, I don't think the budget or the elections will have an impact on the markets, on the Singapore market, actually. Simply for the reason that where the budget is concerned, for every dollar that the government spends, at least 60 cents is actually leaked out, because the leakage factor is actually pretty high here, given the fact that we are very exposed. We depend a lot on imports for food, and we also depend a lot on foreign labor for some of the key sectors here. So I don't think the budget actually has a huge impact. With regards to consumption, it doesn't mean that if the government spends more, in that sense, that people will just rush out and start spending aggressively. I don't think that's the case in any case. Elections have never had a visible impact on the stock market. In fact, in the last 4 to 5 elections that we've tracked, we've never seen a visible impact on the stock market, regardless of whether the PAP has a bigger mandate or a lower mandate. So I don't think that's a factor as well. I think what's more important is the fact that the global economy seems to have actually found a footing after slowing down last year. I mean, do think that it's actually bottom out. So from that perspective, because Singapore is so exposed to the global economy, we do think that earnings growth in Singapore could actually perhaps actually improve over the next 12 months. And that, I think, is probably a bigger factor, a bigger catalyst for the stock market than the elections or the government budget.
So watch out for earnings as being the thing, as the factor to perhaps consider when looking at Singaporean markets this year. Thank you so much, Mr. Kelvin Tay.
Thank you very much for UBS
for joining us today on Primetime. Appreciate the time and good afternoon.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.